You're tuned in to Rob and Evan on Native Son DC.
Well, good afternoon to everybody in the nation's capital and around the country and around the world. This is the Native Son DC podcast. I am here with my producer in his kitchen, Matthew Yancey, and my best friend for 40 years in his remote corona-sealed location across town, Robert Klein. How are the both of you today?
I'm good over here, but yeah, it feels a little bit like jail.
It's not the worst jail.
Every day.
I'm doing fine. Just touching my face all over the place. Loving life.
Yeah, I'm just putting. I'm licking every surface I can. Yeah. By the way, how dumb. I can never remember. I always want to call him Godot. What's his name? The Utah Jazz basketball player who touched all the microphones.
Rudy Gobert.
Thank you. So how dumb does that guy feel now? I mean, it was pretty dumb when he got it. Now he feel dumb. This is one of the first professional athletes, Rudy Gobert, to test positive for the coronavirus, and he made a big joke about it before he tested positive at a press conference where he was touching every single person's. That was the beginning of "Riding Along in My Automobile to No Particular Place to Go" by Chuck Berry. That's how quickly I got that song. I just will have you know.
You just crushed my out.
I did, but that was No Particular Place to Go by Chuck Berry. I wasn't supposed to hear that, but you know what? We're doing the show in the kitchen. So we used to do our show in Radio Fairfax at the lovely Radio Fairfax studio out there in RFX.
Yeah, and shout out to those guys. I hope they're doing
shout out to those guys. I don't even know if there's anybody in the studio. The studio has been closed. I think Miriam or probably somebody, at least one person has got to be in there.
Shut down. Now the whole thing's shut down. Everybody's doing it remotely.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what we're doing. We are now, we've got a 16 track, or is that an 8 track recorder? 16 track.
We are going six.
I see the name 16 on the title of the item. So I'm going to go, it's a 16 track. 16 DSP professional mixer that we have here doing our own podcast here in the studio of Matthew Yancey's beautiful Northwest DC home, right off of near Belt Road.
Yes, right in the shadow of Woodrow Wilson High School, my
Tinleytown, USA, baby.
Yeah, I mean, right. I bet you when Fort Reno shows are going on, you can hear them. I bet.
Oh yeah, can hear that. Can hear the mighty Wilson Tigers football team getting the beat down by somebody.
Is that
awesome?
It doesn't go the other way ever.
They've had some really good seasons over the last couple years.
That's right.
They really have. They've been very competitive.
Excellent. That's good to hear. I mean, you know, DC, there's no shortage of, you know, people and great athletes in this town. I mean, all there needs to be is some organization and good coaching, and that school should have no problem being as competitive as anybody. Anyway, speaking of competitive, really the only competitive thing going on right now, if you could even call it that, is the NFL with all the everything being shut down. The latest in the corona shutdown whirlwind, the Olympics have been rescheduled officially now for 2021, which probably the Japanese aren't really all that upset about because they sort of weren't ready for this year. And the Masters is still just postponed. The Open Championship, the British Open, as we call it here, has now been officially canceled.
Wow.
Then there was one other that has been canceled, and I'm trying to think of what it is.
Was it the U.S. Open?
Wimbledon.
Well, Wimbledon was canceled, but that was last week. And so the ancient and royal they were waiting on to see what Wimbledon, and they when Wimbledon shut it down, they were like, yeah, we're shutting it down. So I don't really know what is going to go on with golf. I mean, golf is it's kind of a strange thing because golf would possibly be the one spectator sport that everybody could kind of still go to because it's outside. No one's got to touch a handle. But, you know, people are still in obviously very close proximity to one another. But in any case, yeah, everything is shut down. I mean, the only sporting event really that has anything going on right now is the NFL. And that has been the case for about a month now. And the NFL's draft is right around the corner. I mean, we're talking like just a shade over 2 weeks at this point.
Yeah, it's April 23rd. Is that correct? April 23rd, 24th, 25th.
Why did I think it was the 18th? But if you're looking at that,
it's like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. Okay. So 3 weeks.
Yeah.
About 3 weeks. Okay.
Just under. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it was in about 2 weeks. It's 3 weeks, which, by the way, is probably going to be one of the most watched NFL drafts in history, because there is, I mean, every single sports fan who has been deprived of, you know, every ball hit out of the park, every dribble, you know, off the court, every puck slashed by the goalie, they got nothing going on in the last several weeks. And so what else are they going to do? That's going to be a very, very heavily watched draft. When we come back, we will talk about what the Redskins are, you know, maybe looking at a little bit differently this week than they were last week, and a few other draft news as well. Stay tuned.
You have questions about the 2020 census, and we have answers. Let's go to caller number one.
Well, what is it?
Good question. It's a simple questionnaire that counts everyone living at your address on April 1st. Next caller?
So why should I take it?
Because it guides how billions in funding gets used each year for things like clinics, fire stations, public transit, and so much more. Caller three, go ahead.
What's it have to do with representation?
Well, your state's population determines the number of seats it has in the U.S. House of Representatives for the next 10 years. Next?
How do you take it?
Just look for an invitation in the mail starting March 2020, then complete it online, by phone, or by mail. Let's go to our final caller.
Is my information safe?
Yes. It can't be shared with anyone. It's the law. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget to shape your future. Start here. Learn more at 2020census.gov.
You've been telling me you're a genius since you were 17, but you're
not. I love
that
guitar player's tone.
That's got great tone, and I always think about the fact that guy was writing commercial jingles before Donald Fagen met him and hired him. So that's kind of, which you can kind of tell when you're listening to his solos, that he has a very kind of jingly, expressive vocal style to him. Anyway, let's get down to sports here, shall we? Redskins football. Now, the draft, as we said, is coming up in a few weeks. What I kind of wanted to happen is now officially a rumor out there, which is that the Redskins are shopping that pick. I have come to the conclusion that the Redskins would be much better off shopping that pick than taking Chase Young. I really just have come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I think over the last couple of weeks you've illustrated that, because I remember it wasn't that long ago that you were dead set you wanted this Chase Young guy.
I don't know that I ever felt that way, but
really, I thought you were that you were 100%. That's what they're doing. That's what they ought to do, and that's what they will do.
I assumed that that's what they would do. Now I actually don't think they would. But I never really wanted it, because I just understood how valuable that pick is. I mean, there's a part of me that always thinks, you know, get the best player. But I mean, I don't know. What if he's not actually the best player? I mean, how do you know? You never know.
You never know. That's a blind dart, blinded dart throwing.
Well, because now here's the thing about Chase Young. Let's talk about the 800-pound elephant in the room here. About, you know, do you really feel that he's as good as everybody is saying it? And you know, you listen to all of these NFL, you know, supposed experts and supposed pundits and everybody out there. They really get locked into groupthink. And I know that they do, because I've done this too, and I've gotten out of this habit. But sometimes if you're writing, you know, and you've you've got to put out some content, and you just like, oh man, I got to put out this content. What do I do? And you look at like what three or four other people have written, and you kind of put together your own ideas, and bang, you've got a blog post on your hands, and then you publish it. Well, it turned out the guys from NFL.com and ESPN are no different. They do the exact same things. And so you see like one article pop up on ESPN. 2 days later, there's an article on NFL.com that is almost identical. And, you know, this happened really recently with the grade that the Redskins got. First, Bill Barnwell, I mentioned this on the last podcast, Bill Barnwell gave the Redskins a D for trading Quentin Bunmore for only a fifth round pick, I want to say, to the Seahawks. Yeah.
Dunbar to the Seahawks for the
fifth round pick. And then, 2 days later, it was like the exact same article appeared on ESPN, except it was just a little bit shorter. I mean, the guy literally just cut and pasted. And so when I saw those two articles, what I realized is that, you know, just because you're reading that, you know, somebody might be taken here, or that this rumor is happening, or that, it's literally just a bunch of sports beat reporters with no actual information all copying each other. At least in a lot of cases it is. Yeah, there are real beat reporters like, you know, Ian Rappaport, even though he gets stuff wrong. I mean, he's out there getting the stuff. I mean, obviously Adam Schefter is out there making real reports happen. But the rest of these guys, I don't know, man. I mean, like the guys who are just sitting around the NFL not reporting, they're just reading other people's stuff and making this up. And so, you know, when I read that, you know, Chase Young is the best prospect in 10 years, how many people's opinion is that really? Is it one person or two people or three people? And that's just been cut and pasted throughout 1,000 reporters? Or is he actually that good? I would not want to go against all these guys, but I just don't think he's that good. I just don't. Are you seeing the same things that everybody else is seeing when you watch him play?
Yeah, but the unfortunate thing is that when I really tuned into him was during the tail end of the season, the last three games, when it was the Big Ten championship against Wisconsin, I believe. And then they had their two playoff games. And in all three of those games, which would seemingly be the biggest games of his career, he really was really not a factor, unless you consider the fact that he was probably getting double teamed more than a normal player would get double teamed. And but still, even when he had one-on-one, it didn't seem like he was as nearly as disruptive as I had heard he was.
I saw the same thing. Alarming. I mean, I was watching him one-on-one, and he was getting stymied, actually. He was getting stymied in the Wisconsin game, one-on-one. I mean, they were doing a number on him, and they actually rarely double-teamed him the whole game, and he was totally ineffective. Now, he was coming off a suspension. I'm trying to remember what that suspension was for.
He took a little bit of money for a plane trip to go see his mom or something.
Yeah, I remember it being something so minor.
It was the garden variety. And the game, I think he only missed two games, and one of them was against Maryland.
Yeah, he only missed two games, and he still had 16 and a half sacks.
And yeah, I mean, there's no doubting the kid is good.
But yeah, and you think about that, he had no sacks in those last three games. So we're basically talking about 16 and a half sacks in eight games worth of production. I mean, that is amazing, even on the college level. I mean, you get one sack in one game, and you're doing that's really good. I mean, anybody who's getting double-digit sacks is getting their name in the paper and getting mentioned, and probably making a Pro Bowl, or at very least, you know, their contract situation is looking a little bit better than it did after they're getting double-digit sacks. So, 16. I mean, even though this is the college level, I get it, but 16 and a half is no slouchy number. It had to come from somewhere, hardly. And yet when I watch him. I mean, you know, the one thing that he does that you just can't deal with, he has got the fastest get off on the line and then subsequent get off me move that I've seen. That's really what he has. He can beat any offensive lineman off the snap. And then he's just very good in that first move to get their hands off of him. And then once that happens, it's over. The quarterback is dead. But if he does get locked up, he doesn't really seem like he's got the strength to beat big offensive linemen. And so, you know, with NFL coaching and NFL weight room, I mean, you know, when you're in college, you can only spend, you know, like 3 hours a day or something like that at practice. Or, you know, you have a real limit to how many hours you can spend working on your craft. In the NFL, it's all you do. And so those little things that we're worried about will work themselves out. I don't know. But, are you at all in love with Isaiah Simmons for the Redskins, that maybe if they do drop back a few to number five, number six, whatever it is, and Isaiah Simmons is there, how do you feel about that kid? Tell me what you're seeing from him.
Well, I got to be honest. I didn't watch a whole lot of Clemson, even though they're on TV quite a bit. But I hear his name constantly. I just also hear that he's sort of a man without a ship. He doesn't really have a true position in the NFL. Is he a box safety? Is he an outside linebacker? Is he a free safety? I mean, what does he play?
And that's a really good question. And I think that's why he may drop a little bit. Now, for those of you who are listening and not exactly sure who Isaiah Simmons is technically a linebacker. I think that is what he's listed. It's like a linebacker / safety for the Clemson Tigers. And he's been their best defensive player for a few years running now, a couple years running.
He's a tremendous athlete.
Tremendous athlete. Like don't compare him to Sue Cravens. Sue Cravens was a biatch compared to this guy. This guy is a man. This guy is a big house on a big hill. I mean, he's just 6'4", I don't even know what it is, like 245, something like that. He's huge, but he's not like big and bulky. He's just big. And he runs sub 4.4 40, 4.4 39.
That's the insane part.
Yeah, and he can rush the quarterback just as well as dropping into coverage, and he can cover linebackers, and he can do it all. I mean, at some point in time, you got to ask yourself, why are we going to draft two or three dudes when we could draft this one dude at all three of these positions? I mean, he's actually that good. Now, in the past, those tweener guys like the Sue Cravens. I mean, he didn't work out because he's a head case. I don't know what's wrong with that dude, but he's a head case.
Yeah, we evaluated him poorly.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott McLuhan, on that one.
Yeah.
Way to go.
That was a bungle.
Dude, Sue Cravens and Josh Dotson in the same draft? Did he really draft both those guys back-to-back?
Sure did, buddy.
Who's paying that guy $75,000 to be a consultant? Because that's what he makes now. He makes like every time a team hires him on a player, he makes like $75,000. That's what he charges.
Wow.
Dude, you and I could make that same money and advise people better. It's ridiculous. I don't know how he got that job. Like he built those Seattle Seahawks, and then he built Jim Harbaugh's 49ers. Yeah. So he was doing something right, but his star has dimmed or something. But I don't want to compare Isaiah Simmons to Sue Cravens. He's not really like anybody that's ever come before him. I mean, that's the thing about him. Deion Buchanan for the Cardinals was probably about as close, and he's been very good for them, or at least he was he did get dinged up a little bit. But I'm telling you, the NFL is ready for a guy like this. They just need the right guy, and he's the right guy. I think I would rather have one more first round back draft pick and Isaiah Simmons than I would rather have Chase Young. By a long shot, I would rather have that, because they're going to need to get an offensive lineman. So let's get Isaiah Simmons, and let's get the best offensive lineman that draft pick can afford us. And, maybe we can trade back again and get your boy Laviska Shenault, who I think, by the way,
ding, 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 ding.
I think Laviska Shenault is going to go in the first round. Every mock draft has him in the second. I think he's going to easily go in the 20s somewhere.
He seems like a Stephon Diggs type to me, like an all-around, do whatever you want with him, line him out wide, put him in the slot.
No, well, that he's yeah, he,
just
he's,
hike it to him.
He's Tyreek Hill, except with Julio Jones' size. That's what he is. He's literally, and he's raw, he's as raw as Tyreek Hill was in Tyreek Hill's rookie year. But look what a year of Andy Reid's coaching did for Tyreek Hill. He came back the next year a legit, bona fide, silky smooth route running wide receiver in the NFL with 1 year of coaching. Why couldn't Laviska Shenault be that exact same guy?
He's going to make somebody very happy, because Colorado stunk last year. Everybody knew that guy was getting the ball, and he still did what he wanted to do. So he's good.
Well, you just touched on something a second ago about where he gets drafted, Shenault.
Yeah.
I think that's the case too with Simmons. Like, for a good team with a solid organization with people who actually have IQs over 80. In their front office or their head coaching, like the Patriots, I would trust them to take Simmons and deploy him properly. And in previous regimes with the Redskins, I just wouldn't trust them to coach this guy up the right way. We can't even coach the guys up we have here that look like who they are.
I agree totally. Listen, if there was one guy on the coaching staff, even above Jay Gruden, above everybody that I thought was a real problem, and I was so, I want to say pleased, because I'm never pleased to hear that anybody is doing a bad job, but I was pleased to hear that once Greg Minuski, the defensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins, got fired, people were saying, you know, a big reason why they were not good on defense were his schemes. And you know, it's just one of those things where you see somebody interviewed and it doesn't really even matter what the subject matter. You could be talking about their favorite sandwich or their favorite band or their job, which is usually what they get interviewed for, or whatever it is. And, you know, an intelligent person comes through. The things they say are intelligent. There's intelligence in their voice and their eyes. You look at Greg Minuski, dude, it's like, we're going to kick him. We're going to kill him. We're going to punch him good.
It's hard to hate on Minuski because, you know, he was a member of the 91 Redskins championship.
Hey, I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying that I think that he's not.
No, but you should be. I mean, he does all the criticism he's getting, he's deserved it. He earned it.
He earned it. But, I mean, listen, that guy, he's a linebacker's coach in the NFL, or he's a positional defensive coach in the NFL. He's not a coordinator. And then ultimately comes back. It really does come back to Snyder and how badly he mismanaged the team, because when you can't get a top tier defensive coordinator, you know, you're left with a guy like that. I mean, Wade Phillips wanted to come here, although, and Jay Gruden didn't want him or something. I'll never figure that one out. Why they're like, yeah,
I'm not sure either. That place has just been so poorly mismanaged. Who's to tell?
Yeah.
But I know for a fact, we all know as Redskins fans that Minuski, the Redskins desperately tried to replace him, but they couldn't get anyone to come in because no one wanted to work for Bruce Allen or be a part of this terrible organization.
I mean, why would you? Because, I mean, if you're coming into the Redskins, well, we do need to take a break here, but if you're coming into the Redskins, you don't really know who your boss is. I mean, now you do. Your boss is Ron Rivera. But previously, you didn't really know who your boss was. You didn't know if it was Dan Snyder. You didn't know if it was Bruce Allen. You didn't know if it was Jay Gruden. It was none of those guys or all of them, depending on the day. Anyway, we will take a break here. There is news from the college ranks about one Tua Tagovailoa, or whatever. I try to be so smooth and pronounce his name. Tua.
It's a tough one.
Tagovailoa.
We'll work on it during the break.
I'll work on it tonight. I don't think the break is going to be long enough to work on that one. He was at one point the de facto number one draft pick, and then he got hurt, and that went to Joe Burrow of the LSU Tigers. Two is back in the news, and he's looking good. We're going to get into that and much more when we come back.
Did you know that you can listen to Radio Fairfax on your smartphone, tablet, television, and many more internet-connected devices? Just download the TuneIn Radio app from your device's app store and search for Radio Fairfax. It's just that easy. The TuneIn app is available for iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, Windows Phone, and more. For more information, check out radiofairfax.org.
I've given up counting how many times I've now listened to the individual tracks of that song.
that segment of that song is something you just never get tired of hearing. It's just that good.
Well, it was.
That is musical porn. That's fantastic.
Can you do that again? I don't know how you did that. Anyway, the tone of that guitar is amazing. He actually does it. He actually has his wah-wah pedal engaged. during that solo. But it's
that
just
getting that harmonic effect on it.
Well, that's why he gets that super crazy, like trebly, like dripping with mid range and treble tone. Anyway, Tua Tagovailoa. How about that? Close enough?
That was pretty close. I think the listeners will.
Yeah, I think there's like a viola. I think it's, you know what it is? It's tag. It's Tagovailoa. But it's pronounced more like Tonga. So like the country of Tonga. So it's like Tagovailoa, Tagovailoa, something like that. Very close. Anyway, I'm legitimately trying to get the guy's name correctly. I don't like it when people mispronounce my name. And so I'm truly trying to get his name correct. So his medical reports have been coming back, and they have been excellent. I mean, it's as bad as good as news as he could have possibly received. I mean, his hip is, I mean, he claimed if he had a football game to play, he could play right now. And I don't think he would say
that could be true.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he would, he's got financial reasons to say such things.
It wasn't that long ago that he was considering, you know, doing a redshirt season in the NFL. He was saying that if he had to do it, he would do it.
Right. Like, you know, he would get drafted and then just stay with the team if some team would actually do that, which they would. Right. I mean, they did it for, I want to say it's Jalen Smith, for the Cowboys did that. Oh no.
Yes, that's correct. Good call.
Yeah, it's Jalen Smith, or
I good.
Anyway, which, by the way, can I mention the Cowboys signed Alden Smith? Did you see this?
No.
Alden Smith hasn't played in the NFL in 5 years, when I saw his name, I was thinking, is he that guy who blew out his knee for the Niners?
He was
Brian.
49er, right?
Yeah, he was a 49er. Yeah. But no, he was a like domestic abuser. One of those. Right, that's what he got kicked out of the league for. Like the scummiest scumbag stuff that you could possibly do. And still get reinstated. That's what this guy did. I had to look it up exactly. When I read it, I was like, oh, of course he's going to the Cowboys. Of course. Like what do they do? Like they try to find the worst human beings on the planet and then sign them to just live up to their stereotype. Anyway.
Well, that's why we love to hate the Cowboys so much.
We do. We sure do. And they are deserving of it. Awful human beings that they are. But, you know, Tua's medicals have checked out beautifully.
Yeah, they came back glowing.
Yeah, and so what that means is that the number two draft pick for the Reds, which is where the Redskins hold, they held the second overall pick after the Cincinnati Bengals. That pick was already going to be valuable because Chase Young was sitting there. Now you have a healthy quarterback who some people consider to be better than Joe Burrow, who is the de facto number one choice. Now, I say de facto, and I'll put air quotes over, you know, even de facto by itself is an air quote type of phrase. But I think that Joe Burrow, you're hearing, is not necessarily going to be the number one pick. Is that right? I mean, yeah, that's the scuttlebutt.
I wouldn't go that far.
But from your people?
I think it's easily 95 out of 100 that he would be the first pick to the Bengals, which is, you know, he's from Ohio.
Well, Chase Young, you know, went to Ohio State. I mean,
yeah, true.
I'm wondering, you know, why wouldn't the Bengals, you know, I mean, if Chase Young is as good as everybody says he is, and he's the best draft prospect anybody's seen in 10 years, why wouldn't the Bengals draft the best prospect they've seen in 10 years and then sign Cam Newton?
It's premium on the quarterback position, you know. That's the most important position in sports is the quarterback. If you don't have a good quarterback, you just simply don't win.
That's generally true. I mean, you have to have such a good team outside of your quarterback to even think about winning. I mean, such a good team.
The only team I can think of that really comes to mind are the Ravens in the early 2000s, or maybe even in 2000 with Trent Dilfer.
That's the one that always comes to mind. That's the immediate.
Yeah,
but that's one team in 25 years that has made that formula work. And there's no Ray Lewis on any team. I mean, Von Miller was probably about the closest thing. So the closest thing that has happened is, I mean, Peyton Manning in that Super Bowl. Peyton Manning was an awful quarterback that year.
He was terrible that whole year. Yeah, you're right about that.
And he only threw for about 160 yards or something in the Super Bowl.
Started a lot of games that year.
Yeah, he got benched for Brock Osweiler. I mean, he got benched not for basically for play. I mean, he was like a little bit dinged up, and you could tell he wasn't healthy and wasn't 100%. But he basically got benched for poor play for Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, he threw more interceptions than touchdowns that season.
Yep. And so really, that, you can get 2 years. You can get, you know, that formula seems to be good for about one win every decade. Really good defense and a quarterback who's smart and doesn't give the show away. You can make it happen with that kind of a scenario. But for the most part, you are right. You need a quarterback. At the same time, I mean, are the Panthers anywhere close to really competing for a Super Bowl? I mean, I guess you have to have your quarterback and you plan for as long as you can. But I don't know. Well, it just sort of seems like they've been
a Bridgewater.
Yeah. Bridgewater signed. Did he sign with the Panthers? I think he signed somewhere else. He is signed already. I'm not sure where, but I'm
pretty sure he's a Panther. That's why they released Newton. Or not why they released Newton. I think they were going to do it anyway, but they signed Bridgewater.
Matt's going to look that up. But even if that's not the case, Cam Newton is still out there. Jameis Winston is still out there. There are probably about four
he's
or five
an intriguing
other
players.
Well, boy, I mean, you tell you, he's got to be. I mean, you won a national championship in college, and you've shown that you have the talent to throw for 400 yards in a game on the NFL level. I mean, you can just do it. There's something there. There's something there that you can work with, and you can win with this kid. But then there's also, it's sort of like he
throws the ball to the wrong team too much. That's it.
I get the feeling that after one really good game, he kind of starts to feel like he's got this thing figured out. And he gets cocky, and then he gets his butt handed to him the next game, and then he studies his butt off, and then he has a good game, and then he gets cocky, and then just like that's kind of what his season was like last year. I mean, I don't want to simplify it to that extent, but it almost seems like he's, he rests on his laurels a little bit.
He just trusts his arm a little. He's got too much Brett Favre in him. He'll throw it.
Okay, so Bridgewater did sign with the Panthers. We're hearing that. Okay, so Bridgewater definitely did sign with the Panthers. All right.
Trust your boy.
I know. So still, we're talking about the Bengals here, though.
in terms of
they could sign, I still don't know why they wouldn't just sign Chase Young, who went to Ohio State, and get Cam Newton or Jameis Winston. Like, if I'm the Bengals, that sounds like a pretty good plan to me.
Well, they still have Andy Dalton, don't they?
And they still have Andy Dalton under contract. I mean, it's weird. Like he actually is not under contract, or they
his rights belong to that team, or is he just a straight just a free agent?
I think that they could cut him with no salary cap implications. Is what the deal is.
Right.
That is correct. Okay, so they can cut Andy Dalton with no salary cap implications, which basically makes him, a lame duck free agent. I mean, they have no downside to cutting him.
They also drafted Ryan Finley out of NC State last year, and I think he ended up starting a number of games for them last year, but he didn't play very well. But Andy Dalton, far from the worst quarterback in the league, I'll tell you that.
No, I mean, you can win with that guy. I don't really know how good he is. I mean, I always thought he was
definitely a C+.
Yeah, and then when Jay Gruden was coming along and throwing his Arena League passing plays at Andy Dalton. Yeah. Andy Dalton took to that and did quite well with it.
Yeah, and a lot of that time without A.J. Green, too. If A.J. Green stays healthy, which you just simply can't seem to do, he's one of the better receivers in the league.
Hey, all right, so now that you've mentioned the league, can we get into a few notes about the NFL in general? I know you maybe haven't been keeping up the way you normally would, as no one has, because there really is not that much going on. But there are two things of note that I would like to ask you about or bring up. The big one, of course, is number one, there's only going to be one first round bye, our first round playoff team that's going to have a bye in the playoffs next year and for the foreseeable future, because the NFL has now expanded until 14 teams will get into the playoffs, which is about half the teams. So the first week, that number one seed will get a bye, and the two plays the seven, the three plays the six, and the four and the five play, and on and down it goes. So there will be one extra game for each conference, i.e. two extra games total in the wild card week. So you'll get a little bit of extra football, which no one's going to be upset about. But that first round bye. That's really going to make for some interesting football when the you know, when everything kind of comes down to it. Because if you've got a first round bye and another team has, they have their first round bye, both those teams are kind of like resting on their laurels. Their positions are set. But now the difference between a first round bye and having to play, you know, an up and coming, you know, wild card team that's scrappy and getting hot at the right moment. Nobody wants to play that team. That first round bye is going to be so valuable. It's going to be really interesting to see how that changes the dynamic of the end of the season. I think it's a good change. I like it.
You do? Okay. I'm more of a traditionalist, and I sort of have to see it before I can really know if I, or I got to taste it before I know if I like it. But have they done a thing with reseeding throughout the playoffs? In other words, let's say there's a weak division winner. Let's say, God forbid, the Redskins won the NFC East at 8-8.
Right.
Does that guarantees them a home playoff game?
As of right now, it still does. Yeah, they would by virtue of winning their division, they would have the host.
About maybe changing that.
I kind of don't, just because, you know, winning your division. I mean, if you have a lot of really just evenly competitive teams in your division, I mean, you can be a 11-5 team in another division and win your division at 8-8. If you just have a strong division year.
You could come in second place in your division and not get the bye at 11-5, say in the AFC West, where there's going to be at least three really good teams.
Yeah, that's exactly what the Patriots ran into the year that Brady went down with his knee injury.
Oh, yeah, they were at 11-5 and didn't even make the playoffs, for God's sake.
Didn't even make the playoffs at 11-5.
Yeah,
but if you would, let's pretend you were an 11-5 team that came in second in your division, and you had to go play a division winner, an 8-8 team on the road. I thought there was talk about maybe reseeding that.
There was talk, but that did not happen, and I don't think it's a good idea.
Plus, does that mean
I'm with you. I think winning the division should merit something. It should merit at least one home game.
Are we going to be looking at like more 7-9 teams in the playoffs and stuff now?
That's actually probably really rare. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a big proliferation of that. I mean, it's really rare to see teams that bad make the playoffs with that kind of record. And so you're not going to – you might see it ever so slightly more often because, hey, you have added one more playoff team, but it's going to be like twice a decade, you know, that you're going to have like an 8-8 team in the playoffs, I would say.
That's our best shot.
Exactly. Let's keep that. That's the only way the Redskins ever get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Plus, more playoff football is good football. It's just good for everyone.
So the next thing, I don't
necessarily care about another regular season game, but more playoff football is good.
Right, so there's been a story in the NFL that has really grabbed certainly the NFL insiders' attention, and it's grabbed my attention and it's grabbed yours, and nobody can really put their finger on what this was, but. Even before this happened, Bill O'Brien had made a bunch of really weird and nonsensical free agent moves. Like they had signing guys for more money than anybody was offering and that don't really quite fit the team. Like people were already like, what is this guy doing? He's not a general manager. Why did they give him every single ounce of control? And then just when people were questioning whether he knew his butt from a hole in the ground, he gives away DeAndre Hopkins, who probably, I mean, you know, if you ask 1,000 really knowledgeable football people over the last decade who'd been the best three receivers, it's Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., and Julio Jones. Those are your three top. The fourth guy has probably been DeAndre Hopkins for a while now, probably about 5 years. And that guy
he's
is
top
good.
Three. He's top three, if not even perhaps the best.
I mean, and that, this year he is. He's really come into his own. I mean, they gave away a guy who never talks, who never says anything in the media, who never is nasty and weird, doesn't get caught outside a club at 3 o'clock in the morning, just shows up and balls his butt off every single game and catches everything that's thrown at him and gets open even when he's the only receiving target that they have. Why do you get rid of a guy? That's the guy you build your team around. And he's 27. If he was like 33, I could see it. But he's 27. And they got rid of him for a fifth round pick and like an insignificant player. I mean, essentially nothing.
Somebody Google that. Tell me exactly what that trade is because it's still baffling.
We're about to go to break here in about a minute, so we'll Google it during the break. But I'll look up the exact parameters. It's something along those lines. I'm almost positive it was a fifth round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they got for DeAndre Hopkins what we got for Quentin Dunbar.
Yeah. What did that? What did your guy who gave us a D on that R trade, what did they give him, a D?
No, he got an F. They got an F. Everybody's giving Bill O'Brien a fat, fat F on this. And it's weird. It's weird. It makes no sense what he did. Anyway, we'll look up the exact parameters of that trade during the break, and we'll break it down for you, and then we'll talk about some cool stuff the Terps did. We got actually a little around the district action coming up.
I know you used to ride up high on your green steed, usually after the come down fools come back around, sniffing out the weed in dire need of just some simple conversation.
Introducing the YMCA. Sure, you know the Y for a swim or a game of hoops, but we're more than that. We're a cause. When you take a jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Practice yoga as a team practices her leadership skills. We give people of all ages, incomes, and backgrounds a chance to learn, grow, and thrive. So while you might think of the Y as the place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. That's the Y. We're so much more. Visit ymca.net/more.
Filling your radio waves with good vibes and too much coffee. Cafe Chill is Public Radio's weekly chill mix, curated and hosted by Seth Boland. Cafe Chill provides a wide mix of music ranging from instrumental hip-hop, future bass, ambient techno, chill wave, and vaporwave. Chill with Cafe Chill every Wednesday at 11 p.m. on Radio Fairfax.
Welcome back to Rob and Evan, a Native Son DC.
I always think of a certain Mr. Charlie Hamill, probably not watching, but Charlie from the great Commonwealth of Virginia, if you are listening. Charlie, we're thinking about you up here in Washington and hope you are well down there in Virginia. Shout out to Mr. Earl Campbell, Hall of Famer. His birthday was just a few days ago. And Sean Taylor,
the Yellow
of course.
Rose.
Dude, Earl Campbell is a great man. He is
a hell of a player.
Hell of a player, and he's been a pretty amazing guy in some difficult situations. His body is broken, and he is still.
I don't think he can barely walk.
He can barely walk. It's actually very difficult to watch, but he can. He can get up and he can do a cane and walk a little bit. But anyway, yeah, it's a sad thing to see. He's not. To watch a man just bowl people over like the way he did in the NFL, and to see him now, it's just like, woof, dude.
And he's been dealing with that type, the knee injuries like that since right after he retired.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's to the point where he can barely walk. And Sean Taylor, his birthday was yesterday, 2 days ago, one of the two.
I think Wednesday.
Anyway, it was earlier this week. He would have been 37 years old. I really wish we would just move on from this. I don't know how long we can mourn one man, but it's a tough thing. But I really wish Redskins fans in general could just move on for this. I know you don't feel that way.
I cannot move on. I'm still stuck.
No, I'll never
that
move
guy
on
was either. He was that I good. So good.
I don't know. I mean, he was so good, but I mean, at the same time, it's just after a decade, it's time to move on, huh? Maybe. I don't know. That's my opinion.
It would help if we had a replacement.
Hey, Isaiah Simmons. I mean, that guy looks like Sean Taylor when he's got a ball in his hands. He really does, actually.
Taylor was leading the league in interceptions when he died.
Dude, Sean Taylor was going to be great and, seriously great. Like, he was just coming into his own. Anyway, so a couple of things. Let's finish up with the Bill O'Brien thing. So that trade isn't quite so crazy and lopsided as I said it was, but it's still pretty lopsided. It's basically lopsided. They got David Johnson, who is had one good year as a running back with the Arizona Cardinals, and then got hurt, and he's just not that good anymore. He's just not.
He's never even approached that breakout year he had a couple of years ago. He's never even come close to that.
He won't either. I mean, it's like, Adrian Peterson, that guy, there aren't too many dudes like that around. You know, guys normally when they get hurt like that, they're never the same. In any case, so they got him and they got a second round pick basically then. They swapped fourth rounders. So it's essentially they traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson and a second round pick.
It still sounds ridiculous.
It's still ridiculous considering how good he is. David Johnson doesn't even matter in this trade, really. He's just a sort of a nothing.
Cardinals might have waived him for all I know.
They probably would have. I mean, he was going to make too much money, so of course they would have. Anyway, it's an awful trade. It's hard to believe that it was made, and there's only one way that it was possibly made, and that is because Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins did not get along, and that's relatively
well
known.
That's the only reason.
It's the only reason that makes any sense, because exactly, you know, no one says that Bill O'Brien is not a smart guy. Everybody knows that he is, but it's a real danger falling in love with your own smarts. And I think every human being does it at some point in their life. We all think we're smarter than we really are. At some point in our lives, we think we know some stuff that we don't actually know. In my case, it happens a lot. But there's a time when you realize, okay, I don't know as much as I do. I need to humble myself a little bit. I need to take a step back and be like, you know what? I don't have it all figured out. A guy like Bill O'Brien doesn't seem to have that ability. He just doesn't seem to have the ability to be like, you know what? I messed up. This isn't in the best interest of my football team. It's like he's got to be right. Like he cannot deal with not being the man, not being in control, not being right about everything, not having the last word. Like he's the kind of guy, if you're getting in an argument with Bill O'Brien, he's still saying stuff to you when you're getting in your car. Like, dude, I don't care anymore. He's still arguing with you when there's no argument left to be had. That's the kind of guy he is, and that's why this trade happens, because DeAndre Hopkins says something to him, Bill O'Brien says something back, and all of a sudden, they're snapping at each other. And you know what, kid? I brought you into this team. I'm going to trade you just as easily. Like, fine. Please, would you? And now you've got DeSean Jackson. I don't know. I know you're not a big Twitter fan, but DeSean Jackson has nevertheless have taken to Twitter about how he feels about this trade. That hasn't been pretty, to say the very least. I don't know if you've seen him, but
I'm not a tweeter.
I know you're not, but sometimes they still show up in.
Taker with the best weapon you've ever had in your career, probably the best one you'll ever have in your career.
These guys do not come along very often, and when you get one, you hang on to them.
Special.
I mean, when you get somebody that good who is also that much of a team player, like DeAndre Hopkins is, you hang on to that guy like for dear life. You don't let him go.
You let bygones be. Even if you don't have to see, you don't have to love each other to be teammates, man.
No, I mean, you don't have to like somebody to work with somebody. You just have to respect their ability.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, and you have to. I mean, I've never had a job where I've liked every single person at my job. Never, not
it's
once.
It's virtually impossible.
Yeah.
Along those lines, when's Trent coming back?
He's not. That ship is so sailed. And honestly, Trent is just looking worse and worse and worse as this thing goes on. I mean, he's just looking like a fool.
So do the Skins. They should have handled their business 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What does that guy's agent have to do to get fired?
Yeah, right.
No kidding.
Horrible.
Did you read that letter? Did you read the letter?
No.
Yeah.
It's insanely written. It's written.
It's not even true. It's absolutely everything on there is untrue.
But not only is it untrue, like there's so much weird innuendo. Like it's the kind of letter that like a psycho ex-girlfriend writes to her boyfriend. Like it's that sane.
Beyond that,
they've been broken up for 2 years already.
Doesn't he need to lower his... Like it sounds like he's scaring teams off with his asking price or whatever.
Well, of course he is. No one's going to pay a guy going into their, you know, second their 30s. What is he, 32 when the season starts?
31.
Okay, which is not old, but it's not. He's on the second half. Of, you know, he's in the third quarter, if not the fourth quarter of his career.
Yeah, this is going to be the last big contract he'll ever get.
That's what they're swinging for the fences, but they're. In trying to hit such a tape measure home run, he's going to end up striking out.
So what's going to happen? And is this just going to play itself out after the draft? Are we thinking?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I hope. I mean, I mean, this is the reason,
even though this draft is rich in tackles.
Oh my! Well, this draft which is also doesn't deep help in a lot of positions. Yeah. Offensive tackle, cornerback, and wide receiver. Boys.
So there's going to be one team in the musical chairs that doesn't get their stud left tackle, and that's hopefully one of the teams that would be in a position to pay him. For both Trent and for the Redskins, really, is what I care about. I'm so over Trent, I just don't even...
He's not on the team as far as I'm concerned anymore, but I just...
No.
It's driving me nuts that they have this asset and they can't get anything for him, because the Dolphins need a left tackle or an offensive line help in any way, shape, or form they can get it in the worst possible way. And why wouldn't the Redskins, with the Dolphins having three number one picks, say, here's a left tackle that is going to play for you for 3 or 4 years at a high price, but you've got $1 million, you know, $1 billion in cap space, you can afford it. Why wouldn't you make that trade? And the answer is just exactly what you said, which is that, or what Matt said, which is that, you know, he's asking for too much money and he needs a new contract in, I think, next year. And so
it's interesting that you're coming up just by natural conversation that you're Bill O'Brien and the Dolphins things are now adjacent to each other, because the Dolphins, or the Texans, traded for Laramie Tunsil, who was the starting left tackle for the Dolphins, a young kid out of, I think it was Ole Miss. The Texans, under O'Brien's watch, gave up two number ones to get that guy.
I mean, I know you need a left tackle, but not two number ones. Like, dude, just draft one. Draft better.
What if the Dolphins are able to get Tua Tagovailoa? If Tua falls to them at number five, and pretend there are no trades in those first five picks, and the Dolphins sit there at number five and they're able to get Tua, at that point, they might be looking for a left tackle, you know, because they're not going to get one in the draft. They're not going to get a first-round tackle. Actually, that's not true. They might. They've got three. Do they have three number one picks?
They have three. So they have the number five overall, the number 18, and the number 26 overall. 26. And then the Jags and Jets.
So maybe they might be able to get a quarterback and a tackle and a wide receiver.
They could. I mean, you know, but listen here. You want to know a real dream scenario, and the Redskins are sitting pretty with it. I mean, they could – imagine this. Imagine, all right, we get the pants paradox where Chase Young actually goes first overall.
Yeah.
And then the Dolphins are all of a sudden in love with Joe Burrow and the fact that they could get him. They might actually make that trade. Three picks and – that and for Trent Williams and the second overall pick. And then the Redskins trade back with the Jacksonville Jaguars when they get to five, trade back to nine and pick up another. If the Redskins play their cards right and things go well, they could actually have four number one picks this year and a fifth within the first five picks of the second round. I want you to marinate on that while we take a break and come back for our closing segment. We're going to get into a little bit of the Terps recruiting that we didn't get to, and also give you a Corona update on sports in your region. Stay tuned.
For our troops and their families, the military is more than a career. It's a journey. And every step along the way, the USO is there.
It's an experience that soldier will never forget. That's what the USO does.
From the time they join to the time they transition out of the military, the USO is there, offering programs and support along the way.
It's way more than a free phone call for us. It's that opportunity to stay mom. And the USO makes it all possible.
Be a part of their journey. Learn more today at USO.org.
Relive some of the great memories and play some of the great music from the old school days. Every Monday morning at 9, tune in to Back in the Day with Bomani, the Dark Knight of Radio.
So we're going to leash of the pony and go around the district, except we're not, because we don't have that sound effect, or do we? Do you have it? Do you have it queued up? Can you get it? Can you get it? Come on. Rob and Evan are going to go around the district. Anyway.
Wear your mask when leashing up your pony.
Always wear your mask.
It's around the district with Rob.
There you go, buddy. So... yes, Damian Robinson, we're hoping that's how that's pronounced, is a Quince Orchard stud defensive end, one of the top recruits in the country, and he is going to the University of Maryland Terrapins. He committed just a few days ago, and that's a kind of a big deal for them. I didn't know if you had any thoughts about that. Like, so the new coach there is obviously recruiting wizard.
That also makes the Terps allegedly the number 7 recruiting class in the nation and number 3rd in the Big Ten. With that, I don't know who else they've signed, but that guy Loxley is doing what he does.
Loxley's a good recruiter. That's what he's there for.
Not so much on the X's and O's, but he can recruit his.
Yep. Struggles with X's and O's.
That's the book so far.
That's been, well, you know what? Why doesn't he? I guess he's just his one man show and he's the coach. And I don't know if he could partner up with some, like a master play caller, he'd have something there.
Yeah, I don't know what the rest of their staff is. I confess, and even though I watch a lot of Maryland sports, especially obviously basketball and football, they're the only things to watch. But I mean, I watch it religiously. But I'm not up to speed on actually what the rest of their coaching staff is. I just know Mike Loxley because he's from D.C.
Well, that team needs a lot of help after what happened, and with the player dying the way he did, that was awful. That was just an awful story.
That
was just like 10 miles of, is there any silver lining to this story? Is there anything that makes me feel good about being a human? And there just really wasn't about that story.
That was bad.
I mean, just the way it happened and the reaction to it. And in this time, in the era that we're in, where we're trying to realize that, beating the living crap out of a kid who's dehydrated and screaming at him is maybe not the best way to get the best out of him.
No.
Anyway.
And the Maryland handled it poorly too. They had that coach on the string. They were going to give him his job back. The players went ape.
Yeah.
And so they were going to give that head coach the job back, which was nuts.
Well, I have a quick question for you before we go. There was a coach who had to apologize recently because he tweeted something out. His wife had. It was a picture of his actual wife knitting something, but instead of a sweater, it was a noose. And he said, 2 weeks in quarantine, and, my wife has decided to knit me a scarf. But she was clearly in the picture knitting him a noose. Pretty funny, right? But, it's just like typical, married couple, been married 20 years. They're not used to being in the same household together. He's on the road as a football coach. And now, they're together, and they're driving each other crazy. That was the whole sort of premise of the tweet, but it got taken totally the wrong way, and everyone, all his players are calling him, like his own players are like, he's stripping, he's a racist, even though he's never been accused of that before, just because, and he had to apologize and do all this thing. And I understand why, because the noose is a symbol of it's becoming
certainly a bad decision.
Number one,
a bad joke. Let's keep that one in the house.
And so even though, yes, it seemed like an innocent tweet, did you have to tweet the thing out about the noose? No.
No.
Do you have roughly 70 to 80% of your team is African American? Yes. Let's use a little bit of common sense, people. I mean, let's just think before we tweet.
It seems to lose its credibility in Twitter, or its meaning in Twitter.
Well, it's the whole thing.
On there and say,
what was to be gained?
Oops, I shouldn't have said that.
What was to be gained? That's the thing that drives me nuts.
Absolutely nothing.
But who?
Now, was this a college football coach, a college basketball coach? It certainly wasn't a professional coach.
No, it was I believe it was a Ole Miss basketball coach. This just goes into, like, for some reason, sports figures put their foot in their mouth on this thing all the time.
Constantly, over and over and over again.
When it will stop. Anyway, this is Evan Redman. I am on that cheery note. This is NativeSunDC.com. We actually are pretty cheery. I'm healthy. I'm in a good mood. The beautiful weather is out. Matthew Yancey's got a smile on his face. Robert Klein having a good time. We'll see you next week, guys. Stay healthy and be safe. See me again. I hope that you have been the kind of person.